Today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report, I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts right after this.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture. A better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humix Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
Get ready for the 2023 Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California on September 27th and 28th, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors. This two-day event will feature a combined 44 hours of live and online continuing education units for attendees in the heart of California, a trade show, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. Come join CCAs, PCAs, growers, and industry professionals at the Visalia Convention Center to hear from researchers and colleagues on the latest in agriculture. Registration is now open at progressivecrop.com/conference.
Powdery mildew occurs in most tomato-growing areas of California, with spores being carried by wind to tomato plants. The disease is usually most severe late in the season. High relative humidity favors disease development. Mild temperatures favor infection, while higher temperatures hasten the death of infected leaves. Plants stressed by other problems appear to be more susceptible to powdery mildew. When conditions are conducive to disease development and sporulation is abundant, fungicide applications may be necessary to control the powdery mildew. Some sulfur sprays may be acceptable for use on organically certified produce. It is recommended you check with your certifier before use. A weather-based forecasting model is available online. The model attempts to predict the occurrence of powdery mildew based on temperature, relative humidity, and leaf wetness. However, since 2007, the disease has been more severe and faster developing, such that the disease severity and fungicide timings have not been well predicted by the model in recent years. Fungicides may not be needed on early season crops harvested in July or August. In the Central Valley, disease outbreaks generally start in July or August and mainly affect plants that are in full bloom at a later stage. Multiple early applications of sulfur dust are the most effective option. Once a disease becomes severe, control is difficult. Apply fungicides if needed preventively or during the early infection period. When a disease pressure is high, repeat fungicide applications at 7-day intervals to control the disease. Stop treatments within 2 weeks of harvest. There is no immune tomato varieties in California, though varieties vary in susceptibility. If a tomato has powdery mildew, leaves on the affected plants develop irregular bright yellow blotches. Severely affected leaves die but seldom drop. Spots of dead tissue, sometimes surrounded by a yellow halo, eventually will appear in the blotches. Abundant white sporulation may be observed on upper or lower leaf surfaces. There are no lesions on stems or fruit. As the disease progresses, leaves die, resulting in sunburn damage on fruit, reduced soluble solids, and weakened plants. Now that California prune growers are earning a higher price with supply more in line with demand, marketers of the dried fruit have a message for them. Don't go nuts on prunes. The warning comes as the price of almonds and walnuts has trended down in recent years and growers remove more of those trees. People in the prune business are concerned that farmers looking to replace their nut orchards will overplant prunes. Thanks to depleted inventory, prune prices have improved over lows of 5 years. Growers say they want to keep it that way. Some farmers and other property owners who have had to turn to the California FAIR Plan, the state's insurer of last resort, may soon have better coverage options thanks to a new law. Governor Gavin Newsom signed legislation to improve commercial property insurance options for people who have struggled to access coverage due to the impact of wildfires. Farmers suffered a double blow to fires, losing crops and farm properties, as well as the ability to insure their properties and commercial assets as insurance companies denied policy renewals. They say more legislative fixes are needed. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has imposed sanctions on three produce businesses for failing to meet contractual obligations to the sellers of produce they purchased and failing to pay reparation awards issued under the Perishable Agricultural Commodities Act. These sanctions include suspending the businesses of PACA licenses and barring the principal operations of the businesses from engaging in PACA licensed businesses or other activities without approval from USDA. Of those currently restricted from operating in the produce industry, from California is JJ Produce LLC, operating out of San Diego. They failed to pay a $7,127 award in favor of a Texas seller. As of the issuance date of the reparation order, Jorge A. Beltran Ritz and JB Resources LLC were listed as managers and members of the business. U.S. peach and nectarine production for 2023 to 2024 is forecast down to 574,000 metric tons. Production has been fairly stable during the last 5 years, range-bound between 650,000 to 710,000 tons, but weather events in top-producing states will drive supplies below this range in 2023 to 2024. California's peach crop is expected to decline as substantial rain and cool temperatures delayed and extended the bloom, while damaging March freezes following early blooms are forecast to slash production in South Carolina and Georgia. The 2023 to 2024 forecast continues a downward trend that started in 2011 to 2012. Output fell below 1 million tons in 2013 to 2014 for the first time in decades, where it has since remained. U.S. output declined over 30% between 2013 and 2014 and 2022 and 2023, with volumes dropping 300,000 tons to 650,000. Production has been slipping in all growing states, but the most significant decline has been in California, with combined peach and nectarine production down 200,000 tons during that time. According to the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, California accounts for an average 80% of U.S. output and nearly 100% of peaches for processing. Declining demand for processing peaches has driven the drop in peach production, particularly in clingstone peaches. Used almost exclusively for processing, volumes of clingstone have plunged 43% in volume. In addition, 2022 to 2023 California nectarine production fell below 100,000 tons for the first time since the early 1970s on crop damage from rain, hail, and near-freezing temperatures. According to USA Today, in a recent article where they listed the top 10 orchards to pick apples from, coming in at number 6 is Julian Farm and Orchard, located in Santa Isabel, California. It is home to a rock climbing wall, picnic areas, and a petting zoo. The Julian Farm and Orchard is located on 25 acres in San Diego County. While daffodils and berries are the main focus during spring and summer, autumn includes apple and pumpkin picking. They also have food vendors and lawn games for visitors. A delegation of California Farm Bureau members held meetings to advocate on important issues facing farmers and ranchers as debate continued in Congress over how to fund the federal government. Farm Bureau leaders and the organization's federal policy team met in the nation's capital last week. Discussions focused on important agricultural issues such as the next Farm Bill and the need for prompt relief funding to recover from disasters, including flooding and wildfires.
Smart growers know sustainability means managing pests at the same time they manage other priorities in their fields, which is why smart growers know Certis Biologicals. For more than 20 years, Certis Biologicals has been the world's leader when it comes to biological pesticides, delivering proven solutions that keep operations sustainable and growing. Learn more at CertisBio.com.
Production of rice, more than any other crop, relies on aerial applicators. Planes plant rice seed in flooded fields. They fly on mid-season fertilizer, and they fly on pesticides to protect the crop. So when about half of the Sacramento Valley rice acres went unplanted last year because of the drought, it severely affected area flying businesses. But in less than a year, thanks to numerous atmospheric rivers last winter, rice has rebounded, and so has aerial application. Rick Richter, owner of Richter Aviation in Maxwell, also grows rice, so he knows the rice industry from two sides.
Well, it was a disaster for all the aerial application businesses on the west side of the valley, from the Sacramento River to the west and from Sacramento north, mainly because the Central Valley Project, which is Shasta Dam, came up with a zero allocation from the Federal Bureau of Reclamation. And the east side of the valley, which is everything east of the Sacramento River, gets their water out of Oroville Dam, which is a state project. And they had plenty of water. Basically, it dried us up. We had, I think, 7,000 acres total that we planted. And most of it was, the majority of it was groundwater wells. We did do several fields that were planted with surface water, but it was the price was exorbitant and not too many took advantage of it.
With only about 1/8 of the normal acreage they serve, Richter said most of their 7 planes sat idle last year. Even so, they still needed to have them inspected annually by the FAA.
Well, they just sat there and gathered dust. We have to get them an annual inspection every year and have them ready regardless of how much we fly them. So it was kind of a bust for us. We flew two airplanes out of seven that we owned, and actually we flew just one the majority of the time, but we did have an extra one. There was a few days there when I helped out a little bit. My son Nick did the majority of the flying that year.
This year, about 500,000 acres of rice are estimated to have been planted in the Sacramento Valley. That compares to about 250,000 acres in 2022. Richter said the 180-degree turnaround created some crazy conditions at the start of the season. Probably the most challenging was finding 25 seasonal employees to replace those who found new jobs last year and didn't return in 2023. The seasonal workers help wash and fuel airplanes and load them with seed, fertilizer, and pesticides.
We went from 7,000 acres last year to 54,000 this year. So it was crazy. Yeah. You know, we were ready for it and glad to see it. And it looks like next year could be the same as well. They're talking about 100% water since there's so much in Shasta. The toughest part was getting back the seasonal employees that we employ every year. Got a few standbys that are there for us, but majority of them, like 25 people that we hire, had moved on to different jobs. So we had to bring in new people and train them. And that was the hardest part. We did hire extra pilots, but that worked out real good in the end. So we've got plenty of pilots available.
Richter has been flying the skies over the Sacramento Valley for decades, and he said he had never experienced the water cutback seen in 2022.
We've had quite a few of these drought scenarios, but we've never been cut back more than 75%. And it just seems like there's more and more demands on the water now. And agriculture tends to take a back seat, sorry to say, but it seems like the environmental uses of the water tend to take priority anymore. And it's a shame because we all have to eat. That's the way I look at it anyway.
Richter has served as president of the National Agricultural Aviation Association, as well as chairman of the California Agricultural Aircraft Association. During his tenure and continuing afterward, Richter has been a strong supporter of the PASS, or Professional Aerial Applicator Support System, program. The voluntary effort is created and presented by ag pilots and covers key safety and drift mitigation measures. It was developed by the National Agricultural Aviation Research and Education Foundation.
It's a must for every pilot to see it every year. It's been shown to reduce the number of accidents and the number of drift incidents throughout our industry. And it's a big, big benefit to the pilot to stay sharp on those sorts of things. You know, the latest and the greatest in technology and whatnot and how to use it. And the aircraft as well, the newer aircraft. A lot of the human factors that are involved in our accidents are gone over, and it really hits home to the pilot. You can open your eyes and say, yeah, that happened to me, and I got to be aware of that when it comes from next season, or, you know, you just have to be aware and fully conscious of the what can happen if you let your guard down toward the end of the season, especially. You have to be very, very cognizant of what can happen if you just relax and think it's all over when it's not.
The aerial application season is winding down for Richter and his crew. But come next spring, the skies above the Sacramento Valley will be filled with mostly yellow aircraft helping get the rice crop in the ground once again. This is Vicki Boyd reporting for My Ag Life.
AgroPlante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
American Farm Bureau Federation economist Danny Munch has presented testimony at the ongoing federal milk marketing order pricing formula hearing. It is the third time an AFBF representative has testified at the hearing. The testimony focuses on adjusting make allowance or the estimated costs that dairy processors incur to convert milk to consumable dairy products like cheese and butter. This price directly impacts the price paid to farmers for their milk. AFBF is advocating for make allowances to be adjusted based on a mandatory audited USDA survey, which USDA says it does not have the authority to conduct. AFBF is pursuing legislation that would direct USDA to conduct such a survey. AFBF opposes increasing make allowances based on potentially biased voluntary survey data that could reduce farmers' prices unfairly. AFBF submitted 9 proposals for consideration during a hearing. 4 were accepted by USDA. Additionally, AFBF largely supports 4 of the 5 proposals submitted by the National Milk Producers Federation. Full AFBF testimony is available on the FB.org website. USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack discusses his thoughts on passage of a new farm bill by Congress and its role as a funding tool in supporting farm policy efforts. USDA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
The deadline for Congress to authorize a new farm bill is days away. The current farm bill set to expire on September 30th. As Congress continues to craft new farm policy legislation, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack told an audience at Wednesday's Axios Forum on Food Insecurity and Sustainability.
We're going to get a farm bill. It's just a question of what will the farm bill be. It's not a question of when. It's going to happen.
He adds that regarding building American agriculture into a future iteration, farm bill funding will be but one tool among several available.
As we look at the farm bill, as we look at the other tools available to the Department of Agriculture, we're trying to create new revenue streams for those small and mid-sized producers, maintaining the flexibility of the department to use the Commodity Credit Corporation as we have to help promote climate smart practices,
as well as appropriations within future federal budgets. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Producers and their law firm reached a settlement agreement this month against a manufacturer of allegedly defective milking robots. On September 1st, the court granted final approval of the settlement for the Lely A4. The settlement allows class members to replace their existing robot with Lely's newer A5 model or receive cash relief. Nearly all the approximately 400 class members participated, and the relief selected is worth approximately $121 million. Based on a claim submitted and options chosen, the cash fund is approximately $51 million, and those opting for trade-ins will receive approximately $71 million in value for trading in their A4s for new A5s. In approving a settlement, the court called it an excellent result, noting that it provided outstanding relief and received overwhelming, unprecedented support from the class. The terms of the settlement were agreed upon after nearly 3 years of litigation. USDA's 100th Annual Agriculture Outlook Forum, entitled Cultivating the Future, will take place on February 15th and 16th in Arlington, Virginia. The forum is USDA's longest-running and largest public event and aims to help stakeholders understand and plan for the opportunities and challenges facing the agricultural sector at home and abroad. Each year, it attracts more than 1,800 people in person and nearly 5,000 virtual attendees from the U.S. and worldwide. The program will include remarks from the Secretary of Agriculture and other top department officials, along with 30 breakout sessions featuring more than 120 leading experts on a wide range of timely food and agriculture-related topics. Whether you're a farmer, policymaker, industry leader, market analyst, or simply interested in the future of agriculture, the Agriculture Outlook Forum is a perfect place to learn, connect, and engage, according to USDA. Registration will open at the end of October. In an upcoming bilateral meeting between the U.S. and Japan, the American potato industry is set to make a significant push for broader market access. The meeting is scheduled for next week. Representatives from the USDA Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service will engage in technical discussions on plant health with their Japanese counterparts. There is a key role for the National Potato Council CEO Kim Corliss, who will be present in Japan to advocate for the industry's longstanding goal, which is securing market access for all U.S. fresh potatoes in Japan. While the U.S. has been exporting chipping potatoes to Japan since 2006, the broader market for fresh potatoes, including the lucrative table stock potatoes, remains untapped. If this market is fully opened, it could mean an additional $150 million to $200 million in annual exports for the U.S. potato industry. Japan already stands as the second largest market for U.S. potatoes. USDA has released results from the final year of a five-year study that observed how consumers prepared meals. The study observed food safety behaviors, including participants' use of thermometers for meat, hand washing, and cleaning and sanitizing food preparation surfaces. The most recent data shows that 87% of participants self-reported they washed their hands before starting to cook in a test kitchen. However, only 44% of participants were observed doing so before meal preparation. Among the surfaces tested, the kitchen sink was the most often contaminated, with 34% of participants contaminating the sink during meal preparation.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.